Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, December 27th, 2020. Pastor Paul Talbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
There was a popular song a while back. I don't know what the year was, but I love these words. You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between. I like that because that little section right there in that song, that summarizes one of the portions of our text for today. Therefore, as God's elect, holy and loved, clothe yourselves with heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another. Forgive each other. If anyone has a complaint against anyone else, forgive, just as Christ forgave you. And in addition to all these things, put on love, which ties things together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ control your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. And everything you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. In the name of our living Lord Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, the Savior of the world, died and risen again for us. Wow. What a great honor to have this text reach our ears on the Sunday after Christmas. Did you hear how it started? It says, therefore, as God's elect, holy and loved. Did that sink in? As God's elect. That means no matter what you're looking at in the mirror, no matter what other people are saying about you or to you, God says, you're mine. God says, I have chosen you to be part of my family of faith. God's elect. I picked you to be in heaven with me. Think about that. There is nothing in me. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. I can tell you right now, I was not a little good boy when I was growing up. I tried to get every kind of mischief I possibly could. And guess what? God loved me anyway. Every time I stuck out my tongue at my mom and dad, every time I refused to listen to my teacher, every time I did something naughty, God already knew it was going to happen. And Jesus came to pay for it so I would get to be with him in heaven. He picked me. There's nothing good in me to pick. There's nothing in me except sin and disgusting things. And God says, you know, I want you to be with me. Here's my son. Trust that he did it for you. Wow. God's elect. And how does he describe you as part of God's elect? He says, holy and loved. How did that happen? How in the world did I become part of God's elect who is holy? I just got through sharing with you. I was a naughty little boy. And guess what? When I became a teenager, it didn't get better. It just got sneakier. And when I became an adult, it didn't get better. It just got more bold. We are sinners through and through. There is nothing in us that's good. How in the world do we become holy? It's because of what God said already back in Isaiah, that God chose us and declared us to be holy because of what Jesus did for us. So as part of God's family, holy and loved, I'm supposed to clothe myself with heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So he shows us what real life looks like. What does real life look like? The main word here is forgive. He said, bear with one another, forgive, as the Lord forgave you. Three times he says it, boom, boom, boom. He wants us to forgive. And I was having a discussion with one of our members the other day. Yeah, just the other day. We were talking about this word forgiveness and how we use that word so often, and we enjoy that. We drink it up as a Lutheran Christian. My goodness, there's nothing better than that. Forgiveness, though, we just don't get it. Forgiveness means that when you step on my toes, I don't get mad at you. Why? Because God has already forgiven me my sin. Why should I even be angry at you? When you hurt my feelings, I automatically forgive. Why? Because God has automatically forgiven me. You know what? I don't wait for people to ask me to forgive them. Why? Shouldn't they ask you, I'm sorry, please forgive me? Did God do that first for us? Did he first say, you better fess up and you better say you're sorry and you better say, well, here's the listing of sins and you better... No. God forgave us first. He went to the cross without my permission. He went to the cross without my asking because I was not even formed in my mother's womb. But knowing all the sins that would happen all across the planet, God sent his son who died for us while we were still sinners, before we even asked, before we even knew that we wanted it, before we even knew that we needed it. God says, now that you are mine, in my family, I have some family clothes for you. And by the way, you are well-dressed in my clothes. And he starts to list these characteristics of his clothes. If you're watching online a couple decades from now, this is the year 2020, we are very, very much aware of things called social media. It's fascinating when you look at God's word, how God has everything all covered long before we even knew it had to be covered. All of these characteristics have to do with social interactions. Every single one of them. It says, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another. Forgive each other. If anyone has a complaint against anyone else, forgive, just as Christ, God forgave you. And in addition to all these things, put on love. Put on love, which ties things together in perfect unity. You know, even when Christians disagree, and we sometimes do, and if you're watching online, sometimes Christians do disagree. Sometimes Christians do not behave Christ-like. We are still struggling against our own sinful nature, which is going to be with us to the very day we die. But we have a hope that is rooted in the God who is faithful to his word, the God who says, I forgive. So we work at forgiving one another until it comes more and more easy, until finally we get home to heaven and we say, well, Lord, and he says, welcome home. Put on love, the kind of love that God has for us, the love that loves before you even know that you need it, the kind of love that takes care of it's like Jesus likens it to the love of a mother towards a child. I remember a dad picking up a child, and he's holding the child up off the ground, and the child is pounding on his chest. very angry with the dad. If the dad would just let go, the child will fall down and get hurt. And the dad does not let go. How come? Because the dad loves that child. Put on love. Now, you see here a great shirt, by the way. I love the shirt. It's a Superman shirt. That's a Superman emblem. If you can't, I don't know if you can see it online or not. It's a Superman emblem. And I got this because in Bible history class in school and in confirmation class, every now and then, to poke fun at myself, I would swagger around and I'd say, well, I am super pastor. And so they gave me a little t-shirt, making sure I would not forget that I'm super pastor. I will let you know something. I put this on. I did not become strong. It's so sad. I put this on. My eyesight did not become better. I put this on. The same thing happened when I was younger. I took a blanket because Superman had a cape. I had a cape. And I went up to the top of my garage. Because Superman jumped from the garage, I jumped from the garage. Because Superman flied. No, he didn't. I fell. I didn't hurt myself. But I learned right away that this is not what works. What works is what God says works. His clothes, which changes us from the inside out. Talking to another Christian man this past couple of weeks, and he closes most of his conversations with people, whether it's on the phone or in person, as he walks away, he says the word peace. Now, if you're a Christian, you remember, oh, that's a great word. It reminds me of what Jesus said when he was appearing to his disciples, letting them know that he's alive again. That's kind of cool. That same word is used here. But the word that's used is, well, here, I'll just read it again to you. It's so neat. It says, let the peace of Christ control your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. So this peace, it's kind of like an umpire. Now again, just like I'm not Superman, I hardly know anything about sports. You have to talk to Pastor John. He knows everything about sports. I don't. But I do know that in sports, there's a guy called an umpire. An umpire who sits behind the plate and they throw balls at him. And he, every now and then, will say, strike! At which point, someone will turn around and yell at him to his face. They'll kick stuff up on the dust and stuff. They'll walk around, they'll rant and rave, and he just stays there. Calm as can be. That's the kind of peace that rules the heart of a Christian. When the whole world is going crazy and crazy and crazy, the Christian says, the peace of Christ will rule in my heart. I serve the God who destroyed death. How awesome is that? I serve the God who looked at all of my dirty sins and he took them away from me. I serve a God who said, I am with you all the time. Doesn't matter. If they throw you into a lion's den, doesn't matter. If they throw you into a blast furnace, doesn't matter. If you wind up in the belly of a great fish down in the depths of the ocean, I'm still with you. I am with you when you're looking at a wall that's surrounding Jericho and it's so thick, people are trying with armies to tear it down. I'm still with you. And I'm telling you that when you say what I tell you to say, the walls will disappear. And that's what happened. The walls crumbled just as Joshua was told. We serve a God who says impossible things, but then he backs them up. So that's how come I love it when he starts off this section to God's elect. I am picked holy because God says it. I'm not going to argue with him. Dearly loved. I'm not going to definitely argue with that because I really want to be loved. Holy and dearly loved. And then he says, let the peace of Christ take control over your life. I'm sure you've run into Christians like that. Christians who seem to just be calm, no matter what's going on. They're just calm. There's not like they don't know what's going on, but they are focused on something bigger. And that's what God says here. He says, and once you do that, let the peace of Christ control your hearts and your lives. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of Christ, the scriptures, which are the one thing that cannot be broken, Jesus says, the scriptures, which alone are able to make you wise for salvation, the scriptures. You go back to God's word again and again and again. So our life as a Christian, according to Colossians, is radically different than this world. What moves the world doesn't move us. What shakes the world doesn't shake us. We are focused on something that is coming yet in great glory. And until we get there, we are surrounded by God himself. Wow. And above all this thing, we're supposed to give thanks. Giving thanks. The word is Eucharist. Isn't that something? We are celebrating the Lord's Supper again today. It used to be called the Eucharist in old, old times. Many churches still today, they call it the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving. Because the Thanksgiving and forgiveness and Christian love and Christian life all are hand in hand. So, if no one is noticing that your life is different from someone who doesn't go to church, ask yourself, why is that? If no one is asking you, how can you remain calm in such a troubling time? If no one is asking you that, ask yourself, how come no one's asking me that? If no one is remarking that, boy, you seem to have joy all the time, ask yourself, why is nobody noticing that I have joy all the time? If someone is not remarking to you, boy, you seem to find the good in everything. If they're not telling you that, ask yourself, why is that? Why are they not telling me that? Why are they not asking me, how come I'm keeping my temper? Why are they telling me things? Why? Ask yourself. Our lives as Christians are changed from the inside out, and we are changed because Jesus has chosen to live in us, to forgive us from the inside out, to do it constantly. And that same Jesus says, you're going to need help for this. You don't have the strength to do it. I know what life is like. I've been there. I've walked in your shoes. I had sandals at the time, but I walked in your shoes. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have people hate you for no reason. I know what it's like to have people take your words and twist them around. I know what it's like for people to despise you, to abhor you, to spit on you, to tell rumors about you, and to nail you to a cross. I know what that's like, Jesus says. I also know what it's like to die. But I came back to life so you will have life abundantly. And so I invented a supper for you. And I promise I will connect all of me to bread and wine to give you the strength to make it from day to day, to give you the assurance that your sins really are forgiven, to make sure that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are going to live forever in heaven with me. That's what's going to happen. And so pretty soon we're going to come up to the Lord's Supper. Pretty soon we're going to be receiving the Lord's Supper again to strengthen us and to increase our love and our thanks for him who so loved us. In Jesus, amen.